Welcome to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
How many have siblings? How many love them? How many have issues with them? Same amount. I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up. I want to pray over. I want you to put your hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, you're my King. You're my teacher. You're my Father. I ask you to examine my heart. Where I fit. Within my natural family and my spiritual family. Because I want blessing and I want favor from you. Show me what to do to position myself to receive those things from you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message I'm going to title Blessings versus Favor. If you were here last week, I preached about Jacob and Esau. The scripture that we bounced off of was Genesis 27, verse 40. And it says, by your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. This is one of the most powerful things I have ever seen and dealt with. And I believe God is trying to hammer to us so we could deal with our hearts and our family members in the natural and the spiritual to position ourselves to be blessed and walk in favor. There is a difference between blessing and there is a difference between favor. I'm going to make this statement. Favor is not fair. Listen to me. Favor is not fair. I got labeled by somebody this week that I am an experiential prophet. I prophesy what I experience in my journey with God. And I said, that's a pretty good label. Sometimes the good labels. And I have to tell you that I'm dealing with some things that I started several weeks ago. I've come to the conclusion that my father is getting old. He's 91, he's failing, he's getting frail. And I did not realize I started a grieving process deep in my spirit. I didn't recognize it for several weeks. It's almost like there was this supernatural sadness going on. And I couldn't put my finger on it. And so all week I've been reading scripture. I've been reading these scriptures from Genesis 25 to Genesis 27. I've been reading the story of Esau and the story of Jacob and Isaac and Rebekah and realize they're a screwed up family. I'm like, I can relate. You know, during worship, I looked at Kevin. I said, he's got a twin, you know, him and Kelly. I'm like, all right, who's the older one? By 7 minutes, he is, Kelly is. And you know, there's just these things about families. This week, I saw some of our families in this house that are dealing with stuff between blessings and favor. And if we're not careful, we're going to miss God and we will not fulfill our calling. We will not fulfill what He's doing because we're going to realize favor is not fair. And we're going to miss God. Isaac and Rebekah had two sons. If you go into the beginning where that she was pregnant, and it says that there was two nations in her womb, and it says that they struggled. Actually, let's go there. Genesis 25:23. I told you I was going to skip around today. And why did Rebekah show favor to Jacob? I mean, listen, I really believe Jacob got accused of being a usurper. He got accused of doing things that just irritated everybody. And I'm thinking, man, I'm a lot like Jacob. I can irritate people because I see value in something. I go after it, whether you like it or not. But here's the issue. In Genesis 25, 23, the Lord said to Sarah, two nations are in your womb, two people from within you shall be divided. And one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Who said that to her? This wasn't some tooth fairy telling her that. This wasn't some marriage counselor telling her that. It was God putting a mandate on her two boys. The stronger one, the older one, will serve the younger one. Dude, I have been studying, how in the heck could Rebekah overhear her husband talking about, I want to bless you, Esau. Go take your bow and your arrow and your quiver and go out and kill me wild game because I love it so much. Bring it back, prepare it for me so I can eat it and then I can bless you. Do you understand we all want to be blessed? We all want to be received. But the father says that to him. He said, go. Genesis 27:1. When Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, so he could not see. He called Isaac, his oldest son, and said to him, my son, he answered, here I am. He said, behold, I am old. I do not know the days of my death. Now, when you take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out the field, delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat it, that my soul may bless you before I die. The father says, listen, go give me what I like, and my soul will bless you. Who wants to be blessed? Well, honor your father and go give him what he wants. Is it that simple? Let me tell you something. I have three older sisters. My oldest one, Rebecca, I love her a lot. She's probably listening. I love you, Beck. She texts me. Then I have a middle sister named Margaret. Then I have a younger sister named Pam, and I'm the baby. And I was mom's favorite, and I still am. Rebecca, Pamela, and I, we have a sister named Margaret, who is Dad's favorite. You know why Margaret is Dad's favorite? Because she never ran off and lived a sinful life. She never gave him a hard time. She didn't go off and do drugs like some of us did. She didn't go out and have sex before marriage like all of us did. We're just one of those families. And so the rest of us are a little bitter toward Margaret. And she makes me want to vomit because she goes, Daddy. She calls my father, Hi, Daddy. How you doing, Daddy? Like she's a little innocent princess and we want to stab her with a pitchfork. Why? Because we believe that she has gained favor and we haven't when it comes to situations in our family. But let me tell you something. She earned it. Let's man up. She earned it. While she was serving God, while she was doing right, I was doing stupid stuff. My other sister was doing more stupid stuff, and we won't talk about the other one. She earned favor. She became Daddy's favorite. You think I'm kidding? Why? Because she didn't do the things that displeased my father and my mother. This is hard truth. And we think because we're all saved and we're all walking with Jesus, we're all equal. No, we're not. Favor is not fair. So why? What happened in Scripture here? Let's go to Genesis 26, 34. When Esau was 40 years old, he took Judith, the daughter of Beera, the Hittite, to be his wife. And Basemath, the daughter of Elam, the Hittite. I've lost my place. I'm just going to read it. And they made life bitter. He made life bitter for Isaac and Rebecca. You know, it's time for us to get along with God and find out why our brother or our sister has favor with our father, naturally and spiritually. My question is, has your actions created a bitterness in those who are responsible for you that you did not listen to? Does God forgive you of your sins? Yes. Does your parents forgive you of your sins? Yes. Do they love you? Yes. But let me tell you something. Favor needs to be earned. Don't give me this stuff. When you don't recognize the value of not making the leadership bitter, and then you complain that someone else got your promotion, you've become an Esau. Esau went out into the field. Listen, let me tell you something. Esau goes and marries a hoochie mama and gets mad that mom and dad's mad. It's good preaching. And I need to say it again. Don't marry a hoochie mama and think daddy's going to be happy. Or, hey, don't marry a derelict who won't work and think mom and dad's going to be happy because they're going to have to take care of your nappy self with your kids because he won't work. And they told you not to marry that rascal to begin with. Did you come to me and go, I did everything right, you lying dog. Genesis 25, verse 27. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man and dwelt in tents. I made fun of him last week. I won't do it this week. Isaac loved Esau because he ate his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came to him in the field. He was exhausted, and Esau said to Jacob, let me have some of that red stew, for I'm exhausted. Verse 31. Sell me your birthright. Just because Jacob was he was just a good businessman. He goes, I see my vulnerable, stupid brother who marries outside of the will of mom and dad. He doesn't even value the birthright because he doesn't want his children to have pure line. I guarantee you, sell me your birthright. You don't value your inheritance. You won't do what's necessary to have what your parents want to give you. I'll take it. A different story now, ain't it? He saw a weakness in his brother because he disobeyed his parents and married outside of their will. Ha! He must not value his birthright. So I'm just going to trade a little red stew for it. I don't know how good a bowl of stew, and he sold his birthright. I'm about to die. For what use is this birthright to me? Jacob says, "Swear to me." Verse 33. Swear to me now. So swear to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob, verse 34, gave Esau bread and lentil stew. He ate, drank, rose, and went away. Thus Esau despised his birthright. When you despise your birthright, you don't know the value of your inheritance. When you don't know the value of your inheritance, you won't behave properly to receive it. That's naturally and spiritually. See, we're a family, and I have to take care of some things in my family. And I said to my dad, I said, Dad, listen, I'll take care of my family, but I'd rather do it with your money than mine. Why? Because an inheritance is supposed to be a benefit to you. It's supposed to be a righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children's children.
We can get, Christians can get so spiritual about it. Go, yes, we have a Christian heritage. Isn't that good?
Yeah, and you're so broke you can't pay attention and your children don't want to be Christians because you're not living a good life day in and day out.
That was good too.
Am I focusing on money? No, I'm focusing on a lifestyle of favor. I've been doing my business for 43 years. God spoke to me a couple months ago. He says, make a shift in how you do this. It's something I've done my whole life. I made a small shift and my increase, I saw an increase. Is it really favor? No, it's actually obedience.
Amen. Come
on. But it converts to favor when the check shows up. Yeah. Oh, favor! Well, I had to obey to get it.
Yes.
But favor isn't fair. What do you mean favor isn't fair? This week I'm talking to one of my cousins and his son and his daughter wanted some expensive concert in Miami and he couldn't afford it. It was the crazy dollars. And so he asked somebody he worked for, what is the chances of, and he goes, boom, here's two tickets worth a couple thousand dollars in a box with, you know, and he goes, I'm like, favor isn't fair. Favor isn't fair. You ask the right person the right time to bless your two kids. Favor isn't fair. The greatest thing of an example of favor isn't fair. When my son came through boot camp, Lieutenant Colonel, you've heard the story, I'm sure, if you've listened much about me, had all these medals. And Lieutenant Colonel goes, man, you got a fine soldier there on your son. I said, thank you. He says, all of the medals that I have, I can't get one of those. I said, which one's that? He said, it's the medal that will always get him a promotion if everything is equal. If another soldier is equal in qualification, equal in time served, equal in rank, and they had to make a decision between two soldiers, the one with a medal gets the favor versus the one. I said, what is that? And he says, that's the medal that a soldier gets when he signed up to go to the army in a time of war. It's instant favor. There's certain things that when you sign up to do, when you know there's war or you know there's a cost, that when it's time for promotion, oh, we're equal, but baby, we ain't equal. Why? Because favor is not fair. You can go home and cry to your mom, I was just as smart as him. I did just as good job. I don't know why he got favor and I didn't. Because he signed up when he was supposed to and you was out there chasing hoochie mamas. That's good. Listen, here's the difference. Somewhere along here. Genesis 27, 14 through 19. I want you to look at this. As I was reading that this week, I saw where Rebecca had a scheme. She overheard Isaac telling Esau, go get me this game and I want to bless you. Let my soul bless you. Well, his favorite was Esau. Her favorite was Jacob. And so she gives Jacob a conspiracy theory. Let's go kill a goat so you'll be hairy as Esau. Let's put it on your hands and on your neck so when your father touches you, he'll think you're Esau. And we'll deceive him, and you'll get the blessing. See, he had favor from mom, but he wanted blessing from his father. Listen, I don't know if I can preach this and you guys catch this. Rebecca heard God say, the older, stronger one will serve the younger one. It wasn't fair, but she showed him favor to get a blessing that would make the older serving. The problem is that the older one didn't want to serve. He wanted to kill. Because he didn't want to be a son enough to marry the right woman. So then when he didn't get what he thought was rightfully his, now he wanted to murder. Isn't it amazing that the older child who's not doing what's right, when they get a little bit right, they get on their feet, then they get mad because, well, you're picking him as my favorite. He's your favorite. Well, yeah, he was here while you weren't. Listen, verse 21. Isaac said to Jacob, please come near to me that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Isaac's eyes had grown dim. His sight, one of his eyes had grown dim. So then verse 21, he says, come close, let me feel you. Well, he was feeling goats. I don't know, how hairy could Esau be to where a goat mess you up, man? I mean, I'm like, okay. But in verse 22, he says, so Jacob went near to Isaac, said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Listen, when your eyes grow dim, your feeling will deceive you, and even though you know the voice isn't right. When you get blessing and favor mixed up, your senses will deceive you because you're in the wrong position. So he says, you have the voice of Jacob, but you have the hairiness of Esau. So here's the problem. You have five senses. Which one outranks which? His eyes have gone dim, so now he's got to trust his hearing. He heard Jacob, but he felt Esau. When you are an emotional basket case, you'll go by your feelings and not what you hear God say. Well, I just feel this way. Well, you just feel wrong. This is my true feelings. The problem is your feelings don't line up with truth. That was good. Verse 23 and 24, hairy hands overrode hearing. Verse 25, his taste deceived him. I'm looking at this. He's eating the stew of Jacob. He's going, yum, 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 yum. This is so good. He even said to Jacob, how did you get this so fast? And Jacob even said, he pulled his God card. The Lord helped me get this wild game. So we pull our religious God card. The Lord helped me become hairy real quick. So here's dad who loves Esau's game, wild game. Yum, 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 yum. Have you ever eaten domestic goat versus a wild boar hog or a deer? Is there a difference in taste? His taste deceived him too. Listen to this, guys. Then he says, come close and let me kiss you. Come close and let me kiss you. Why? Because he wanted to get close enough to smell. He wanted to see if he smelled like Esau. His mama had put Esau's clothes on him, and he smelled like the open field. Because, see, Jacob was a houseboy. He smelled different than Esau. So he got close. Do you see that the five senses of trying to bless somebody through your soul can deceive you? Instead of hearing God's voice say, and the older will serve the younger. If we're not intact, if we're not whole, our five senses will deceive us. My sheep hear my voice and follow none other. Isaac had enough information to detect the deception. But he didn't. Because he relied on the other senses and let them override the voice that he said, this is the voice of Jacob, but he's got hairy arms, hairy hands. My sheep hear my voice and follow none other. Romans chapter 9, verse 10. Not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived sons, children, by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing, neither good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger. Verse 13, and it is written, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated.
Wow. And if you look at that hate word, you say, this can't be God, because God is love. I'm telling you, God will release favor on you when you purpose in your heart to obey him as Father. And it will look like hatred because favor is not fair. This week, the Lord said to me, he says, are you walking in favor? And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things in my life I'm walking in favor. And I said, yeah, I think so, but you're asking questions, and that scares me every time. Because you're God, you know everything. And if you're asking questions, it isn't because you don't know the answer. It's because I don't know the answer. He says, you are not walking in the fullness of the potential of favor because you still have a man-pleasing spirit on you and you want people to think you're fair. Only some can. See, I've had some daddy issues. Have you all heard me preach much? You figured that out. Three weeks before my mother died, I went into a vision. I saw her leave the planet. I saw myself elevate. I saw my dad come down, and I became the spiritual patriarch of our family. God showed it to me. He said, sit in the seat, and the day will come, your father will serve you. I knew mom was going. My mom calls and she says, I had an encounter with Jesus last night and I need to talk to you. And so I drove to Sarasota. She got everybody out of the room and she says, I went to heaven and talked to Jesus and we walked about you. I know the gift of God you carry, but I have a word from him that if you do not obey this word, you'll never be successful in your ministry. She said, it's about your father. Your father's a man of faith, but he's not a man of the spirit. She might as well say, your father's a man of the church, but he's not a man of the kingdom. Same thing. He's going to try to destroy the gift of God you carry. But this is your test, not his. When you learn to do war with honor, the day will come your father will serve you. And when that day comes, you'll start functioning in your ministry. Dad and I have come a long way. A long way. At 85, he asked me to father him spiritually. He had some broken places. He wanted to know God the way I did in a father. So I was a fairly decent example, and that happened. And then about a year ago, I got angry with him again. And it's almost like I was willing to throw away all of the progress we had made, and I did not know why. And I figured it out. That there was still a need in me to be validated about from my father. That he was not capable of validating me because he doesn't sit in the seat of authority I do. He doesn't comprehend what I know. He doesn't see the kingdom the way I do. And I'm putting unjust mandates on a man who can't see it. And I became bitter toward him. Again. And I wanted to shake him like a rag doll. But you know what the issue was? It's me. I'm the younger and he's been serving. Why do I need his validation when he doesn't even know what I'm doing most of the time? Why doesn't the validation of heaven usurp my need to have this validation on earth when he's not capable?
favor isn't fair. Out of his own words, out of his own validation, he said to me in a family situation where we had a wedding and a bunch of broken divorced people got together and I made them all love each other. And he said to me, it is evident to me that you have become the spiritual patriarch of our family. That's a pretty good validation. But see, sometimes we're so earthbound. Like Esau, he said to Isaac said to Esau, "Let my soul bless you." And I realize I want to be blessed. But I'm not valuing favor. Favor isn't fair. Favor has a requirement, but favor also has a reward. This week I saw families in this church with sons, olders and youngers. And the older is supposed to serve the younger. And there is a headbutt going on. There's a headbutt going on in the church. There's a headbutt because we won't go listen to the Father and figure out why we have an issue with our brother. The beginning scripture was Genesis 27:40. He said to Esau, I love Esau. He's complaining to his dad that Jacob stole his birthright two times. How could you steal something that you didn't value? So we start blaming other people for stealing our stuff when we didn't value it enough to live right to own it. John chapter 1 says God is love. How could he hate Esau? Listen, anytime God puts favor on somebody else, you think he hates you. Because we don't understand the process of serving. This week has been a very busy week for me. And the Lord's been showing me this stuff. I listened to a country western song about a southern man bowing his head to Jesus and loving one woman, and at the end of his age the angels come, and I'm sitting in the Lowe's parking lot bawling over a country western song, and I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about the brokenness in between us siblings. I'm thinking about the brokenness in some of my two boys, the brokenness between my grandkids, and I'm like, God, how are you going to fix this? And the Lord says, if you would sit in your seat of authority, I will give you a strategy, but then you are going to fix it, not I. Oh no, I'd rather you go talk to them people. No, God, you go tell them. The problem is we want to sit in authority because we want to be in control so we don't get hurt again. And then we pray and ask God to go fix it because we're unwilling to go confront it because we're afraid we might find out some of it is on us. So all week I'm studying for Kingdom School, and it's about chapter 13. You have to must come like a child to find the kingdom. And I'm dealing with daddy issues all week. I'm crying in Lowe's parking lot over country western songs. It's like, what the heck? And he gives me a mandate. Saturday, this is what I want you to do. Your brother's ox is in the ditch. I want you to go serve him for at least 3 hours. I ain't got time for that. I don't have time for that. Okay, do it your way. I still don't have time for that. And then I got to send so-and-so over there to go get a ladder and go do that, 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 that. God said, okay, just do it your way. So by about Thursday, I realized that God was dealing with Charlie. Because I'm asking for answers on how to fix family stuff, spiritually and naturally. And he's been trying to give me answers, and I don't want to serve nobody. Then I get another phone call. Hey, I'm down here from North Carolina, and I want you to meet me and my wife and my crazy kids and this preacher, and I want you to love on us, and I ain't got time to serve you either. Because I got to go serve this other guy for 3 hours. And then God says, you know, that hurricane that hit Texas. Yeah, he says, I want you to serve your neighbors. I want you to go buy this wire and these plugs, and I want you to prepare for hurricane for them. I said, I have all my stuff done. He goes, yeah, and when the hurricane came last year and you looked like the Taj Mahal and they didn't, they were all jealous. Now go serve your neighbors. Go buy all that stuff. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. Because I'm going to go watch the fight at Dan's house. That big fight last night, that was my plan. I can't do all this serving my brother's stuff because I have a plan to serve me. And so by Friday, I had an attitude. Listen, by Friday I had an attitude, but what was God telling me? You asked me for an answer on how to fix your family issues naturally and spiritually, and I've given you an instruction and you refuse to do it my way. Now here's the problem. I committed to yes without knowing all the facts yet. So I wake up early knowing I've got to get a couple things done before I go serve my brother. And then go serve my brother, then go serve my neighbors, and then go have fun. So I get up, I look at the clock, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to teach kingdom school. I haven't prepared. Oh, I got to get a message for Sunday. I haven't prepared. I don't have time to go serve my brother. I don't have time to serve my other brother, and I surely don't give a flip about my neighbors. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, you going to bellyache about this, or are you going to let me empower you with favor and teach you what I'm trying to show you? I'm trying to give you the keys to heal family issues. And I just said, Lord, I heard you. I'm going to obey you. Listen, I didn't leave the house but about 15 minutes later than I really wanted to. I had everything accomplished before I got out of bed with the message, the scriptures, the kingdom school. Went and served for 3 hours. Actually, better than I thought it was. Some people just wanted to talk to me and they should have left me alone. And then I went and prophetically served and prophetically brought healing, prophetically helped another family with issues in their family. And they had crazy kids running around a restaurant, and I don't care. Not my kids. Right. You want crazy kids? You can have crazy kids. I'd have killed them. It's not my problem. I won. Then I went to Lowe's and spent $317 for my neighbors. I didn't know I loved them that much. And I got done with all this. I went, man, that fight's going to start at 9. It's probably got undercard stuff. It's going to be late. Lord says, yeah, you did it my way. Why don't you go take a nap? Dude, I squeezed in a 2-hour nap. Laid my head down about 1:30 last night, or this morning, and looked at my whole day. Sitting in Lowe's parking lot after I bought all the hurricane stuff and listening to a song that just made me weep about my father. And realized I can't put demands on him that areas he doesn't have, but I can him. Listen, if you've got a deficiency of the earthly father, you don't have a deficiency with a heavenly father. Amen. And I wept and cried. I'm an official Christian redneck now. Country music is my new friend.
He said, what's the key to this, Lord? When the brothers will start serving the brothers, favor will find you. Lord says, Charlie, you're extremely gifted, and I've used your gifting for many things, but if you ever lose the importance of serving your brother, I will shut you down and never use you again. Because when the brothers serve the brothers, in whatever capacity it is, whatever the heart is, you know that scripture says when he was mad at that Jacob had stolen, and he said to his father, is you have another blessing? No, he said, the sword will never leave your hand. And he says, once you grow restless, you'll break his yoke off your neck. He's telling Esau, here's the key to being successful. Break Jacob's yoke off your neck. 20 years later, when these two brothers meet, he sends his resources to Esau to find favor. He said it. I sent you that to see if I might find favor with my brother. His brother says, I don't need your stuff. I got 400 men. I got more stuff than you got stuff. Your stuff does not impress me because my stuff's better. But he had broken the yoke that had happened between the two brothers over favor and blessing. And then when he found his brother, he kissed him on his neck. When I saw that, the Lord says, why did Esau kiss Jacob on the neck? When you're really healed of your brother issues and your family issues and your father issues, you will hug and kiss your brother on the very place that they deceived you in to make sure that they don't have a yoke of regret. And if I'm whole and I'm healed, and I'm walking with favor, and I'm walking with anointing, I'm walking with power. And the very person who tried to steal it or did steal it or whatever is there, I want to make sure that they know I'm okay and that they're okay. Why? Brother serving brother. You want to win the world? Serve your brother. Because the world will say, there's something different about that bunch. They care about each other. So everybody wants the pulpit, but nobody wants to serve to get there.
That was a good word.
It's not hate, it's favor. And favor is not fair. I said, Lord, break this down to a new level for me. He says, well, Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is his bride. So if I found favor with Jesus, it's kind of like Isaac and Rebecca. Isaac like this one and Rebecca like this one. And there's two scenarios, two systems. And you can have favor with God and people in the church hate you. What good is your ministry? If people don't receive you in the natural, I don't care how spiritual you are. You can have favor with God and not favor with man. It says Jesus increased with favor of God and man. And we do that by serving one another. So my question to you is, where are you serving? Parents, you want to see your kids actually get along? Where are you serving? If they're not seeing serving in you, don't put a demand on them. That was good preaching right there. Could have got an amen, except some of you are guilty. Stand to your feet. Lord, I thank you for the family of God that you've put me in. I thank you for my natural family. I thank you, Father God, that it's a test ground of grace and mercy. God, I want favor. I want your blessing. I want favor. I want the blessing of my brothers. I want grace from my brothers, and therefore I must extend it. Say this. Favor
is not fair.
But it sure is powerful. And I'm going to get favor. From God the Father. From God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son. When I have favor with those three, it will empower the blessing and favor on earth. Favor is not fair. Whew. That statement alone should put you into a database of your mind when you have felt rejected from somebody that had more favor than you, and you took it personal. Instead of asking God, what did they do to earn that? What did they do to earn that? Favor is not fair. Position your heart to say this. Lord Jesus, I want favor. Show me the roadblocks in my life that is keeping favor from me. If it's my unwillingness to serve, show me where to serve again. If it's my unfaithfulness to your word and the calling on my life, show me there. I'll re-engage. Because faithfulness is one of the keys. Show me where I am irresponsible. And I'll take responsibility. I'll repent. And I'll own it. And I'll redeem it. And I will look for favor. Show me where my attitude stinks. Because attitude determines altitude. And I want to get off the ground. Because favor lifts me. Your favor. And then you give favor to man. That gives favor to me. Teach me to love my brother when I have issues with them. Show me how to deal with it with grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.